Good morning to all of you, and welcome to worship this morning at St. Mark's. In the front of our red hymnal, there is a section on pages 159 and 160 that lists various minor festivals that show up on the Christian church calendar. And you'll notice there that today, June 29th, is set aside as a day to remember Saints Peter and Paul. This is an occasion that's been observed since the 4th century of the Christian church. And we take our lead this morning from the letter to the Hebrews, which encourages us to remember our leaders who spoke the word of God to us, to consider the outcome of their way of life, and to imitate their faith. And so today with Thanksgiving, we remember two great saints of the past. We look to their lives as an example, but we also look to their faith in Jesus Christ as the model for our faith as well today. After the first hymn, we will follow the order of service that begins on page 4 of the service booklet that you received as you entered the church this morning. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and ask for his mercy. Merciful Father, I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name in all the earth. Almighty God, merciful Father, you crown my life with your love. You take away our sin. You crown
Almighty God, you gave the apostles Peter and Paul courage to lay down their lives for the sake of your Son. Grant that like them we may boldly confess your saving truth and be ready at all times to lay down our lives for him who laid down his life for us, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Just as Peter and Paul preached even in the midst of the possibility of persecution, so the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah also preaches the word faithfully despite that threat. A reading from Jeremiah chapter 26. Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, "This man should not be sentenced to death. He has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." This is the word of the Lord. Please join with me to sing responsively Psalm 18.
Turns my darkness into light. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me.
St. Paul reminds us in the second lesson that those who belong to Jesus Christ ought not boast in men like Peter or Paul, but rather our boast is in Christ and our salvation. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So that no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Alleluia. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus according to St. Mark, chapter 8. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." This is the gospel of the Lord. As we sing the hymn of the day, number 552 in the red hymnal, please note that the middle stanza can be found by turning the page, where you will find the text for what will serve as stanza 2 today, which is stanza 13. Thank you. What do you think the oldest Christian holiday or celebration is? I think Easter kind of wins the award because it was the first generation of Christians who chose Sunday as their day of worship in light of Jesus' Easter Sunday resurrection from the dead. By the year 325 AD, the First Council of Nicaea set into motion the custom that we still have in the Western Church today, that we celebrate Easter on the first Sunday after the first full moon in spring. Christmas is a close second to Easter. The controversies and doctrinal questions about Jesus that the church dealt with in the fourth century led in part to the establishment of a day to celebrate his birth. And so at least in Rome in the year 336 AD, from that day forward, December 25th was set aside as the day to remember Jesus' nativity, his birth. Pretty early establishments of Christian holidays that we still celebrate today. What you might be surprised to know, though, is that the occasion we are observing today is as old as those standard big-time Christian celebrations of Christmas and Easter. June 29th has been set aside to remember St. Paul and St. Peter for quite some time. They are honored or remembered on the same day because it's believed, according to church tradition at least, that they were both martyred on the same day, and some people believe they were also martyred in the same year on the same day. Then in the year 258 AD, persecution was coming through Rome, and Christians wanted to preserve the remains of Peter and Paul. And so on this day, on June 29, 258 AD, Peter and Paul's remains were moved to the catacombs in Rome. And because that took place on this day has been set aside since then, since the 4th century, to remember Saints Peter and Paul. But today we're not going to remember these men as secondary saviors. The spirit of today's celebration is very much like the spirit of the celebration that St. Mark's had last Sunday, when we honored a man who has served among us for a quarter of a century. Likewise, today, we remember two saints who were key pillars in the ancient Christian church, and we thank God for their service to the church and what God accomplished through them. We will not remember Peter and Paul as secondary saviors. But we do want to look at their lives and see what lessons we can learn from the lives of these saints. We'll do that by focusing on the gospel for today, and there's two lessons in particular that we want to take home this morning. First of all, we share the same faithful confession as these saints, but we also struggle with the same sinful condition that God's saints of old also struggled with. Next Sunday, we're going to start a series of sermons and services that will have Matthew's gospel featured. And when we start this series, we're going to be starting at a point in Jesus' ministry that's earlier in his ministry. Today we are in Mark's gospel, and we are looking at an account that takes place much later in Jesus' ministry. If you can think of a map of the Holy Land, you've got the Dead Sea on the bottom. North you have the Jordan River. At the top, you have the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee in our account today, far away from the opposition and heat that has been coming against him in Judea and Jerusalem. Now, in the course of this ministry journey, Jesus asks his disciples what the crowds thought of him. "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus asks them. And the disciples give a fairly accurate assessment of popular opinion. Some think that Jesus is one of the great prophets of the Old Testament come back to life. Others think Jesus is a new prophet for today who is operating in the same footsteps of the prophets of old. And they were correct in their assessment. So now Jesus asks them the same question again. But instead of asking them what others thought of him, Jesus asks the disciples what they thought of him. And Peter, the usual spokesman, speaks up and gives a proper answer. Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And there was a lot loaded in that word and in that answer, "You are the Christ." "You are the Messiah. You are the one God the Father has promised for ages to come into this world and rescue us from sin. You are the one whom all the prophets of old had predicted for century upon century. A short, sweet, and simple confession, to be sure, but an accurate one as well. In fact, their confession was so accurate that Jesus didn't want them confessing their confession too publicly at this point. He didn't want them going around and saying, "Hey, see that Jesus fellow over there? That's the Christ." Seems a little odd that Jesus would have said that. But understand that at this point, many Jews had a false notion about what the Christ was going to be all about. Many viewed the Christ as someone who was going to free the Jews from the Romans rather than freeing the world from sin. And so with public promotion of Jesus being the Christ, along with the popular misconceptions of what that meant, Jesus may have been concerned that this would somehow derail or detract him from his journey to the cross, which was coming that much closer at this point in his ministry. Of course, the confusion about Jesus hasn't changed much today, has it? Our coexist bumper sticker religious culture suggests that the popular opinion is that Jesus is one of many fine religious gurus of the past who are all on an equal playing field. Islam will teach you that Jesus is a great prophet, but just a man. Mormonism will teach you that Jesus refinanced your debt with God. But along with Scripture, and along with Christians from past and present, you and I recognize that Jesus didn't just refinance our debt with God. Jesus paid our sin debt in full. God the Father sent Jesus from eternity. This was his plan. Sent him to go to the cross and there pay for the sins of the world, yes, including yours and mine, to undo the eternal consequences of our sin by his sin-paying death and by his death-destroying resurrection. What a blessing to know that. What a blessing to know that Jesus is the Christ. What a gift of the Holy Spirit to share in the same faithful confession as the saints of old. What a gift of the Holy Spirit to know and believe along with Peter that Jesus is the Christ. What a gift of the Holy Spirit to know along with St. Paul the wisdom of God that we have through faith in Jesus, rather than the so-called wisdom of this world, which is really foolishness to God. What a blessing you and I have, one that we ought never take for granted, that we can count ourselves as saints, right alongside Peter and Paul and all the rest of God's believers of all times, because we have been blessed to share in the same faithful confession that Peter gives. Jesus, you are the Christ. Peter's confession and the disciples' confession were correct, but they were still a little confused. Their confession was correct, but it wasn't necessarily perfect. As our reading goes on, Jesus goes on to explain what it means that he was the Christ. They may have understood that Jesus was the Christ sent by God the Father to pay for the world's sin and to reconcile and save sinners. But they hadn't yet fully comprehended what exactly that meant. And now Jesus tells them. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now that Jesus speaks more matter-of-factly what it means to be the Christ, Peter and the others begin to have some second thoughts. Does the Christ really have to suffer? Does the Christ really have to be rejected by the religious leaders? Does the Christ really have to die? You can almost see Peter pull Jesus aside, and you can almost hear how the conversation would have gone. Lord, listen, we're all in favor of you being the Christ. And Jesus, we're all in favor of you fulfilling the scriptures. And Jesus, we're really in favor of you saving the world from sin. But Jesus, you're the Son of God. You know there's more than one way to skin this cat. Surely there's another way that you can be the Christ, isn't there? Peter's rebuke, well-intentioned as it may have been, was nevertheless dead wrong. He got his confession about Jesus correct, but then he tried to massage the definition of what that meant. And Peter probably wasn't alone either. Notice that as Jesus rebukes Peter, and he rebukes him sternly, but as he rebukes him, he also looks at the disciples, perhaps suggesting that some of them were thinking the exact same thing. When Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And in case you weren't sure, when the Son of God calls you Satan, not a good thing. But all good intentions and all honest misunderstandings cannot change the fact that to take the cross and the crown of thorns and the hill of Calvary out of Jesus' future, to do that would have been an act of Satan. Peter and the disciples were focused on what they wanted, and Jesus' rejection and death were certainly not a part of those plans. Peter and the disciples were not focused on what Jesus wanted, what God the Father wanted. And from eternity, God had set Jesus, his Son, on the path that would take him to the cross. This was not just a lesson for that particular moment, but this was a lesson that the disciples would need with them throughout their entire lives. This was also not a lesson that just applied to Jesus. So Jesus turns this into a teachable moment, and he addresses not only his immediate disciples, but also the crowd of people that was following him. He called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." A crowd of people is following Jesus, but he addresses them in a way that every person in that crowd would have heard Jesus speaking to him or her individually and personally. To the person in the crowd who wants to follow Jesus, Jesus says that your life is going to parallel his. To the person in the crowd who wants to follow Jesus, Jesus says, let him deny his sinful nature with all its wants and its desires. Let him take up his cross, the cross of persecution and problems and suffering and difficulties for my sake. And once he has taken up his cross, let him follow me day by day of his life. Jesus calls for a clean and immediate goodbye to our sinful nature and a constant daily walk following in his footsteps. And why is that? The person who wants to save his life from life's troubles may want that, but he won't actually get that. Avoiding the Christian's cross from daily life will only lead one to lose his life and soul forever in hell. But the one who follows Jesus, the one who acknowledges the trials that he will face, but with the Holy Spirit's help, takes up his cross and faces those trials, the one who puts the pleasures of life second, not for the purpose of being ascetic, but for the purpose of putting Christ first, that one will find that in Christ and through faith in Christ, his life has been saved. He will retain his soul for all eternity, for he knows and trusts in Christ who has redeemed him for all eternity. It may be uncomfortable to recognize ourselves falling into the same kind of thinking as Jesus' disciples in this account. But it surely isn't difficult for that to happen. Think of the first lesson in today's service, where the prophet Jeremiah has to speak God's stern law message boldly to the people of ancient Judah, and he speaks it knowing that they very well could persecute or even kill him for his message. We hear accounts like that, but we hear them in the comfort of the church sanctuary, seated in padded pews. And we hear those accounts and we think, yeah, that's right. You know, we're going to face trials and persecution as Christians. We're going to face people who oppose us, and we need to stand up. We need to speak the truth. We need to carry our cross. We need to not back down. And that's true. It's just that it's a whole lot harder to do that when we're outside the comfort of these walls or of our homes. It's a lot harder to carry that cross when we go home and a perturbed neighbor asks us, so you actually mean to tell me that I'm going to hell, a good upstanding American citizen, just because I don't believe in your Jesus? It's not quite as easy to carry that cross when a Christian friend admonishes us and tells us we need to check our dirty mouths or our sinful addictions or our self-righteous ego at the door. It's not quite as easy to carry that cross when that pet sin is knocking at my door and trying to convince me via my sinful nature that sin isn't that deadly and that my faith isn't being threatened and that hell isn't something that I should fear. We call Peter Saint Peter, but his sinful nature surely got the best of him in today's gospel. And we call Paul Saint Paul, but Saint Paul was the one who wrote in Romans chapter 7 about his spiritual Jekyll and Hyde syndrome, the constant battle he had with his sinful nature. Even the greatest saints of old still struggled with a sinful nature, and the saints gathered in Saint Mark's today share in that same struggle. But the saints gathered at St. Mark's today also have something else in common with St. Peter and St. Paul and all the rest. What you have in common is the title that goes before your name. You are a saint. You are a saint, each and every one of you. You are a saint not because of some virtuous thing within you, not because of something that you have done, for if it were up to us, we would all be disqualified right alongside Peter and Paul. You are a saint by virtue of the one who did everything to make you a saint in his heavenly Father's eyes. You are a saint because the Holy Spirit has brought you to faith in the one who has redeemed you by his shed blood on the cross. And so with St. Paul, you confess, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And with St. Peter, you confess, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And with the church of the past and present and future, you confess, we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. And with St. Luther and the Lutherans of the past and present, we confess, Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. And in all of those beautiful confessions of faith that we share with the saints, you and I have been made saints. We see how we have received everything that Christ accomplished for the world at the cross, and why we will enjoy everything Jesus accomplished when we are united with all his people, all his saints, forever in heaven. We get pretty big heads up, even from society, when major Christian holidays are just around the corner. You know Christmas and Easter are coming around the corner because, well, quite frankly, the Christmas sales seem to start in September. Unless you kept your June newsletter around the house and read at some point this week, you probably didn't realize that you were coming to church today to celebrate the commemoration of St. Peter and Paul, and I'm pretty sure that Macy's didn't have a Peter and Paul sale this week either. The 4th of July will garner much more attention this week than our celebration of Saints Peter and Paul. But don't let the meaning of this celebration fade off into the background or become secondary. Yes, cherish your national liberties this week, but cherish your common confession of the saints this week and every week. And yes, while we must also acknowledge the common struggle against our sinful nature that we share with every saint who has walked in this world, we can also rejoice that in that common confession, we also commonly share in the forgiveness that Christ has won for us, the forgiveness that means that we have a common eternal destination where we will sing his praises, sing Christ's praises with all the saints and angels forever. Amen. Please turn to page 11 in the service booklet. We confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In our prayer of the church this morning, we will especially remember St. Mark's members who are under hospice care and who appear to be soon called to their Lord in glory. We remember Rosemary Blaze, Madonna Perkins, and Mary Radmanich amidst our other petitions in the prayer of the church. We bow our heads and pray. With thanksgiving and praise, O Lord, we remember all your faithful servants who throughout the ages have witnessed to your name, the mighty and the lowly, great leaders and humble men and women, those who have served you in prosperity, and those who in the day of trouble have not failed, those in foreign places and those in this land. We rejoice that they now rest from their labors in your presence. Heavenly Father, we recall with thanksgiving what you have done for your church through them. May their good works, prompted by your love in Christ and performed to your glory while here on earth, encourage us to live for you. As we join our worship and work with theirs, may we acknowledge ourselves to be part of that great cloud of witnesses from every age and place. Unite all your people in the true faith, in the hope of an eternity at your side, and in the love that reveals us to be your true children. Eternal Father, you alone make decisions about life and death. We implore your mercy on behalf of our members under hospice care as their departure from this life seems near at hand. As they pass through the valley of the shadow of death, comfort them with face assurance that you are with them and that they need not be overcome by fear. Spare them from extreme physical pain. Encourage them and their loved ones with the sure hope of the glory that you have prepared for your believers in heaven. Holy Spirit, our comfort in trouble and guide through life, as you have protected and prospered your saints in the past, look with favor on us now and bring us safely to eternal glory. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are about to begin the Holy Communion portion of today's service. The Bible tells us that when we receive the Lord's Supper, we are receiving the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And Scripture also teaches us that when we receive the Lord's Supper together, we are making a public statement that we are fully united in all that we believe and teach. Because the Lord's Supper is that public statement of unity, we invite to Holy Communion those who have expressed that unity with us by membership here at St. Mark's or membership in one of our sister congregations of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, our church body. If you haven't yet had the opportunity to fully find out what we believe and teach, but you'd like to join us for the Lord's Supper in the near future, please speak with myself or Pastor Schmidt after today's service. We'd be happy to discuss further with you and to begin the process of working toward a common confession of faith. We'll continue now under the heading Sacrament on page 12 in the service booklet. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Worship continues under the heading Sending on page 16. Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
I invite the congregation to be seated and the newly elected officers of the church council, all officers who will be serving in the coming fiscal year, to come forward and be installed at this time.
Dear friends in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberated you from sin and death and made you members of his body, the church. Through word and sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. You have now been selected for positions of service to our Lord on behalf of this congregation. The Lord has entrusted you with an office which you are to carry out as his servants and according to his word. St. Paul wrote concerning service in the church, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." The Lord seeks faithfulness from all who serve, as Scripture says. It is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. The Lord does not seek from us what he has not given to us. But when he does give a gift, his will is that we use it faithfully, to his glory, and for the benefit of his people. You are also, as servants of Jesus Christ and workers in this congregation, to set for your own families and the whole church the example of Christian lives. Make the word of God your foundation and guide. Search it daily for comfort and instruction. So that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I now ask you in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully carry out the offices entrusted to you according to the ability which God gives you? If so, then answer, I will, and I ask God to help me. I now install you as officers of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God grant you his Holy Spirit and give you wisdom and strength to carry out your duties to his glory and for the good of his people. Members of St. Mark's, I urge you to regard these fellow believers as servants of Jesus Christ and God's gifts to his church. Pray for them, support them in their service, and help them so that through the gospel ministry of this congregation, more people will be reached for Christ and his kingdom. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, our lives are open before you and you hear our promises. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit into the hearts of your servants that they may carry out their duties with diligence, boldness, and wisdom. Give them a spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need they may present their requests to you. Help them be examples of what is good, that by their lives they may build up your congregation and give the enemies of the church no cause for complaint. Make them a blessing to your believers, and help them to work with their pastors and with one another, and grant that by their service the unity of this congregation be strengthened, your name be hallowed, your kingdom enlarged, and your will be done. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go then and give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Go in peace. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing the closing hymn. Good morning again to everyone. We extend a warm welcome to the guests who joined us at St. Mark's for worship today. It's our privilege to share the gospel with you. We hope that as opportunity presents itself, we can see you again here in weeks to come, and we look forward to serving you with the gospel in weeks to come as well. Just a couple of announcements to highlight. There is not a July church newsletter. We don't typically have a newsletter in the months of July or January. However, there is a July calendar. You can pick up a copy of that calendar in three places in the back of church. As you exit the center aisle, you go to either side, and the tables that are along the glass walls between the church entryway and the church sanctuary, you'll find stacks of the calendars there. You'll also find another stack of the calendars in the lobby on the shelf along the side wall. Please take one copy home per family so that you know what is happening at St. Mark's in the month to come. The other announcement is that today is the start of our summer quarter of Bible classes. There was a bit of inadvertent mix-up in one of our classes. Some of you may be expecting one more week of class, but today is actually the start of the new quarter. We'll explain that at the start of my class today in case there's any confusion about that. There's two classes for adults that are listed on page 18. We're going to survey the book of Psalms in here in the church. We're also going to have a parenting class or seminar, if you will, over the next 10 weeks as well, that's going to initially meet in the Luther room. It's hard to gauge how many are going to attend that class. It's the sort of thing that maybe it'll fill the Luther room, but maybe if there's a lot of interest, the Luther room might be too small. So if for some reason today you're stuffed in that room, feel free to head on over to the chapel once the Sunday school children have completed their devotion and the chapel is emptied again. And after today, we'll know what the best room is to hold that second class that's being taught primarily by Pat Walker, but today by David Matthews. A description of those two classes are on page 18. The teens will continue the class that they had been doing previously. We invite you to check out one of those classes today. If you're in my class on the Psalms, there's also a survey sheet in yellow on the table to the left as you exit. The last 7 weeks we'll be studying selected Psalms, and if you'd like to request a Psalm that we study, you have an opportunity to do that in that class. You'll find those forms to the left along with today's Psalms Bible class. Those are the announcements for this week. God's blessings to you in the week to come.
Please greet each other before you're dismissed. Have a great Sunday.